It's hard to know what to say at a time like this. The words that are popping up are from Dickens. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Although I think for most people right now, focus would be on the worst of times. Maybe not. I guess maybe for many people, how to move toward the best of times would be a hard answer. Especially if the times you're referring to are the what was. You know, the day-to-day running out to the grocery store, getting gas for the car, going to the movies, going out, you know, all that norm of life, which now maybe looking backward was the best of times, is no longer at this point available. And we can project a future where it may become available, but we really, really, really don't know. So not being able to look to the future for the best of times, and when Dickens spoke about the best of times, he wasn't looking backwards. He was saying, this is the best of times and the worst of times. So I'd like to focus for a moment on the best of times. I really have become very aware, and I think we all are, that every single one of us is in a completely different time-space continuum in a way, because we view the upheavals around us from very different lenses: emotional, personal, historical, genetic. None of us see the world really in exactly the same way or through the same viewer. Many of us see the world in very complicated ways, and it's the kind of connectivity that allows us to see and feel like we share that view with other people. That gives us community, gives us relationship, gives us continuity in life. But when that starts to break down at all, we start to realize how unique we are and how alone we are with all of this. And without trying to be totally repetitive week by week, but what does it mean to be alone with this? Clearly, we're alone in a space that we're not supposed to leave, certainly not very much, and certainly not without kinds of protection we never dealt with. We're alone in our exploration of the outer, which tends to be at this moment in time very much compacted and surrounding us. How do we find a way to make this the best of times? Well, I'll try to describe for a moment something I've talked about before, which is my own astrological situation right now, as described to me and as experienced by me as very transformational. I'm going through something called Neptune conjunct Sun. I don't know how many of you deal with that, nor do I know that you need to, and I'm not a major investor in astrology, but it has helped me understand this time. And the real power of this moment for me, and it appears to be now reflecting itself out into a much larger landscape, is the end of separation, the end of the separate self, the ego-minded being revealed in all of its gory detail, and having to have it washed or striped or stripped or cut or burned away. It is exceedingly uncomfortable. It's very emotional. It is literally painful. I do, however, feel every time another part of my unexpected ego presence reveals itself, and now it's really shadow-like stuff because it's not the obvious stuff at all. It's all these little reactive things to whatever life is bringing you. It starts to really hurt. You know, if I react to something Blanche says in the way I used to react, it would be, you know, yeah, right, she's wrong, I'm right, whatever that kind of thing would be. Now it's like a dagger. It's like a dagger. Who am I to have that reaction? Who am I to get angry, to get annoyed, to get frustrated? That subtlety of day-to-day structure in a person's life where you're living with the person who is revealing your stuff to you all day long, you can either get really, really annoyed and angry and, you know, say, I can't handle this, I'm leaving this, or you can look at it and go, I get it. Thank you. I get it. Wash that dish again. Put that thing in the dishwasher differently. You know, do whatever the thing is without a reactive quality, without going, it's a me and a you and it's a conflict, which is the thing that tends to come up, but it's so useless. And every time I see it now, I go, okay. And I just give myself over to letting go of the reaction that normally would come up. And the patterning of letting it go and letting it go and letting it go is liberating. There's less and less of this Bruce guy fighting the what is. And where does that what is come from? Well, society, the culture, what's happening on the planet, what's happening in our, you know, medical lives, and also in my wife and my children. It comes very strongly. And the more I give myself over to reactivity, the more I suffer. And now, because this period is so enhanced and heightened, the suffering is enormous. The thing I understand about what I am experiencing is that it leads to liberation. It leads to a letting go of the person, the ego, the Bruce guy who cares about, thinks about himself. It just becomes lesser and lesser and lesser. Not that it's gone, because it's still definitely in process, but boy, oh boy, every time I see a part of it lift off and fly away, the light comes through. And I feel so grateful for what's going on. And I really understand I am being dismantled for, if you will, my own good, but the my isn't Bruce's good. It's the good. It's for the good. What comes out of this process is, has been described to me as a chrysalis experience, a caterpillar cocooning into a very tight, uncomfortable, miserable state, and then having this slow breakthrough into a winged being that takes off freely into the air and has whatever it's meant to be at that point in time, and maybe the beginning of a whole new journey into learning how to let go of that. But the reality at this moment in time for me is I can share with you what I think in some fundamental way we are all going through, which is we're all confined, we're all cocooned, we're all in dialogue with either other people around us who are causing us tension, grief, or joy. And we are, if we're all alone by ourselves, we are dealing with the self, which is going to do the same thing. It'll pick on you, yell at you, cause you all of these issues. And if you go through that sort of self-recrimination, it's the same thing as having another person make you crazy. The whole idea is let it go, relax, surrender, take a breath, ask that it be God's will and not your will. Whatever it takes, we have a million different practices and forms we can use. The simplest one being take a breath into your heart and ask for help to surrender, to let go. When you go into your heart chakra, what you will find is, in the simplest sense, it's okay. And if you want to know the best of times, this is the best of times. It's every time you step in. It is the best of times. All I know is when I enter into my being, if you will, entry point chakra of the heart, mind even, gut, doesn't matter what the doorway I walk through is. When I step inside, I go, and I go, thank you, thank you. Because that's where it's the best of times. Actually, the best of times is a little bit complicated because, one, it's really timeless. And to call it the best means it's related to something else that was the worst. The extraordinary thing about going inside and finding your stability in this quietude of being is that it is outside of time, outside of space as we know it. Now, it's not when you're in a bodily form, a permanent space that you can live. You will be torn back out regularly by your biology, by your physiology, by your manifested condition. You will be brought back into physicality, into the fact that the world's falling apart, possibly into the fact that you have to wear a mask now when you go outside, that you can't go to the movies, that you can't watch another TV streaming show. All of that starts to look, you go, what am I going to do? How am I going to live with that? That's going back into the worst of times. You have a doorway into the best of times, and it doesn't go anywhere but inside. It just goes into this space that goes, thank you, thank you. And I don't know how to impress upon you enough the reality of what I'm saying. I'm assuming because you come here on this weekly basis, you kind of get what I'm saying and you agree with it enough to show up. Because why bother? Why bother this strange Zoom thing that we're doing? Truly, truly odd. On the other hand, when I look at each of you, my heart chakra particularly just opens, it physiologically it seems, it opens, and this love, energy, connectivity, caring, compassionate energy goes right to you, specifically to you. And when you sit there and try to open, even in the trying and even maybe in the failure, it finds its way in. It's such a dowser energy that goes underneath the surface and finds its way to truth. It knows how to get into you even when you're not there letting me in. It finds a way. It goes to the top of your head. It goes to your spinal cord in the back. It goes up your ass. It finds a way into your being. And when it gets inside, whether you're really aware of it or not, you have been impregnated with the best of times. The sweetness of being. You really have. The trick is, as best as you can, let me in. Some of you are now very good at going in to yourself, and you are really living in that space. But what I am acknowledging and seeing and concerned about is that you're far away from surface. You're far away from the intersection between me and us, or God and self, or God and body. What I'm trying to say is there are times where I look at you and you are way far away. What I would encourage you to do, if this is something that's happening in your meditation, bring yourself back to the surface with the connection to the depth going all the way in, and the connection to the world deeply alive and sensitive at the same time. That is the razor's edge, the balance that we live in. And what's really, really interesting for me right now is the depth is so powerful and the outer is so demanding, and living at that razor's edge is so complicated. And I know I wake up in the morning feeling unlike anything I've ever felt before, this unbearable joy and this unbearable sadness and suffering, and they are completely together. I have never really had that before. I had one or the other. I would oscillate I would move between these polarities, and I would try to stay in the best of times. I would try and be pretty successful. But what's happening now is the erasure of the line between me and it, I and thou. The line as it goes away means that I am now in the, I don't even say intermingling, because it's not intermingling, it's one thing. Joy and sadness profoundly interwoven into one truth, if you will. It is really strange to live in this state. I have never experienced before, like wanting to cry and laugh at the same time, wanting to love everyone and feeling like I'm going to be taken away from everybody at any second. The sense of duality merging into singularity, but it's not like one singularity of total joy. It's a singularity that is all there is. And that somehow is what we are. And that if I react to that, that's the reactive part, the Bruce part, is going to get scrubbed away. And then there will just be this extraordinarily powerful oneness, which is everything. The joy and the sorrow together, and bigger than you have ever imagined it could be, and getting more so. And at some point on this journey, I'm told for myself, it's like in November, interestingly, near the election, this shell will break and this metamorphosis will be, I don't know, finished is the right word, but something will be freed by it. We'll see. We'll talk in November. You know, it's a nice thing to live toward if that's really what happens. And it may be that the worst of times becomes exaggerated in November, and the best of times really has to go deeper than it ever has been able to do. Anyway, I bring my journey to the table because I think it's our journey. I think we're all on this ride, guys, one way or the other. And we can go through whatever particular, you know, DNA and genetic historical aspect of who we are, the biology of us, the difficulties, the physiologies. We're all different. We're all really different. But we're all, in the universal sense, on this journey into the oneness of being. We really, I mean, I say we really are because it's my journey. Maybe I'm full of shit. You know, maybe it's just Bruce's fiction. But when I met Rudy and I found I wasn't the only person who felt this way, and when I found a language for it through Rudy, I felt I'm not alone in this. And when I've met all of you and I find this language doesn't seem to offend, and if it does, people leave. But if you start to feel this language is speaking to you, if there was ever a time for this language to resonate, this is it. This is the time. It may be why the world has gone into such a psychedelic breakdown, because you're either going to get your act together or you're not. You're either going to say, "Thy will be done," or "I want to get out of here." I will tell you, unfortunately, there's nowhere to go. No safe zone. No safe zone out there. And for many people, no safe zone in here, because they don't know how to find it. If you go into the safe zone of your brain, yelling at you and watching the news and doing all that stuff, you're not going to feel safe. So many people I know are drinking at this point. I watch the talk shows when I'm on the treadmill, and you know, Stephen Colbert is drinking and Seth Meyer is drinking. They're all drinking, you know, and I'm going, okay, you know, that's a journey, but I'm telling you, it doesn't benefit the soul. It deadens the process. It does not enliven this journey. What we are trying to do is find our way in. You know, I discovered I didn't have any alcohol in the house at all. I asked Joshua to buy me a bottle of scotch because I thought, God, maybe that's an answer. Maybe I'll just try this. I'll just, you know, have a little, 5 o'clock scotch or something like that. I have yet to open the bottle. I'm very attracted to it because it just seems like, well, it's an easy way and I don't have to do all this stuff. And maybe I will. I don't want to cut myself off from the human experience. On the other hand, I just haven't found the need or the want to do that. I tend to just go sit in the new room in our house, the sunroom, and feel like, how did this happen? How did this happen? This is so beautiful. How did I get here? why am I here? What is this? I have never been more displaced in the universe, because I've had a home in Los Angeles for 35 years. I was kind of locked in. We had, the home in upstate New York, and then in San Rafael. We've had these lovely spaces. But this one, I don't know where it is or where I am or why I'm here, but every day it gets more expansive and more beautiful and more home. I put photographs and paintings on the walls now, and we have the sunroom, which I can't wait to share with all you guys. And we have the basement gallery, which opens now to this unbelievable patio that's being constructed, and this big deck off of our bedroom. And it's like one space after another. And I don't know even why it exists. I had this dream at the beginning of moving into this house that there was a secret doorway that went up the stairs from the classroom into a higher room. Well, I think, Chris, I really do believe that room has been built. I think it's the new sunroom. And not that I will necessarily teach in there, but I think when you guys walk into these spaces, I think you're going to go, wow, okay. And it's been built not by me, not by Blanche. It's been built by a vision of something trying to give us a space to come together. And then here we are with this literal obstruction. We cannot come together. And it's like, it's so frustrating for me, because all I want to do is share the space, but more than that, share this thing that we have, when we're together on Sundays and we sit. This percolates in a way that's so beyond, it's so exquisite. And I don't love doing it on Zoom. On the other hand, it's an approach to something that may be ultimately all we have, that we're going to meet in cyberspace. I look forward to the day we can meet here and I can share this and we can all break bread together. But until that happens, we have to break bread symbolically on a Zoom call, and we have to share this moment. And hopefully this moment will be part of the construct of the best of times. If you want to extend the best of times, one, you sit on your own quietly, enjoy your presence, your own presence. I don't care if you have a drink, just don't drink a bottle. I don't care if you do something else to relax, go for a, I guess you can't go for a swim, but go for a walk, whatever it is that makes you feel quiet. And the other thing to do, reach out of your cocoon and call people. Reach out to other people. Let them know you care, or you're curious, or you're interested, or that you love them, or that you are feeling for them, and see what that does. I think it's so powerful not to just sit in the cocoon. I mean, you can, but the broadcasting out of the cocoon, it's the sending of love into the world. You can do it just energetically, which is valuable, but you can also materialize it. Literally get on the phone, get on the FaceTime or whatever it is, and go to people and tell them you are there and you care for them and you love them. And then that will become a moment of the best of times. That connectivity, that love, that sharing will feel really wonderful. Write a letter or an email to someone. I mean, I don't want to give you a post-it list of things to do. You're all smart. But I'm just telling you, do it. Do it. Don't just sit and get lost in yourself, and especially don't get lost in this, and don't get lost in TV, and don't get lost in drinking or drugs or whatever the things are that you're doing. Put that aside as much as you can and just be. Sit quietly in your living room, sit quietly on your front porch if you have one. Go for a walk outside, feel the sun come down, feel what it means to be alive, and try to know, no matter what's going on in the world around you, coming at you through the newspaper or the TV or whatever, the moment of walking down the street, just being, is the best of times. It truly is the best of times. That's all you need. And at some moment, at some fundamental moment, you're going to have the life and the joy of having all of this taken away completely. At some fundamental moment, all of this disappears. that will feel probably like the worst of times, like the ultimate awfulness of being. I can only tell you, and we'll find out, we may not be able to share it, but my feeling is as that occurs, you will be thrown into the only place you can go, which is deep within. And as you get there, the word best of times will reveal itself to you. The true transcendence of all being will come at the finality of all of this. It's a hard road, it's a hard door to pass through. Not that you have to stare at it, but it's now flickering in all of our lives, this idea that we could die at any moment, just by hugging, touching, being in contact with another. That's a big deal for the mind to handle. And that piece of information makes us fear and makes us move into the worst of times. All I can tell you is go deeper, stay in the warmth of your own being. And if that true worst of times emerges, which can, and you're fearful of it, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you really are fearful of it, you're human. You're just human. Be human. And then at some moment, in the extremity of that, whatever that may be, and it will not be fun, the door opens. And I can only, as a screenwriter, tell you, you live happily ever after. I hope that's true. If I'm wrong, you can scream at me. You know, what a horrible teacher you were. But I do think it'll help. I do think it will help get us through to that real moment of the worst of times. And then if I'm writing the movie, it'll turn into the best of times after that. That's it. Anyway, I really do love you guys. I really, really do love you. And I thank you for showing up. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing on Sunday morning to have this. And next week I will go off to San Rafael on Zoom, and the week after to LA, and then I'll be back here again in, so I guess it'll be 3 weeks. I'm available. You can call, you can write. I mean, as I have a strange amount of stuff going on in my life, which makes me kind of less available than I would in a way like to be. But if you need something or need me or need to communicate, I'm here, and feel free. And I would love to stay connected. I think you know I'm writing this show for Las Vegas, for a hotel there. And there's some real question whether the hotel will even be available in the next year to have the show. It's one of the oddest experiences I've ever had. And even if they have, if the hotel is there, whether they'll be able to have people gather in an auditorium. We don't know, but you know, life goes on. And what I love is the creative process, not the end of it, the process, the doing of it. And it's really, it's very joyful, but it keeps me busier than I think one normally would be in a pandemic, having to write all the time. But it's good, it's healthy. Anyway, any questions from anybody that
you want? Yes, to ask? Bruce?
Uh-huh, Dale.
Yeah, I have an astrological question. I don't know anything about astrology, but you're describing what's going on in my turmoil right now. And so my question is what you described about the conjunction of these planets, is that true for all Pisces, or is that just your horoscope?
That's my specific horoscope, but I asked my astrologer, who I deeply love, who was visiting in Ireland and then took a little trip to France, and then the whole pandemic hit, and she's locked. She's in a little village in France and can't leave. But she went back and looked at this time, and she said, astrologically, interestingly, we are at the same astrological configuration that existed at the beginning of World War I. And she never related to this, but she said it was also the beginning of the 1918 pandemic. It is a astrological moment that's returning. Michael, you can look this up, I guess, but it's something that's affecting all of humanity. whatever happened in 1918, when millions and millions of people died, more than in the war, through a pandemic, it's hitting us all. So I can't say that what's happening to me is rippling out to Pisceans or anyone. It has a very specific impact, but the fact that it's now become so much bigger and universal it speaks to me. I don't know what to do with it, but it speaks to me. But I think we're all going through a cocoon, and I think we're all going to turn into butterflies, or we're going to all die in the cocoon, depending upon kind of what your instincts are and what you're willing to work with and break through. You know, the chrysalis is a chrysalis. We're all being pushed into our tight spaces. And when you're pushed into a tight space, you either sit back, breathe, and go, ah, or you go, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here, which is probably not the healthiest way to live in that space. I think you just have to go, I get it, thy will be done.
Well, thank you. If I may.
Yeah, Michael.
The key word for Neptune really is suffering. And, you know, it rules the house, co-rules with Jupiter of Pisces, which is the house of self-undoing. So a lot of times you'll see with Neptune, great saints, you know, who are because of the universal expansiveness of it, or you'll see debauchery and escapism on the worst levels, so the self-destruction. So your desire for alcohol or whatever is very much a part of Neptune, but Neptune dissolves wherever it is in your chart. So if you have it in the house of money, you're constantly having to be watchful that your money doesn't just kind of get frittered away, you know. And so it's a kind of dreaded planet. But I think that Neptune has already passed your sun by a degree or so. So it's really waning.
Well, I feel the waning, but it's taking its toll. It's really pretty powerful.
Well, it's dissolving. What you're talking about is you're being dissolved.
Yeah, exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's a very strange experience.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's a beautiful thing, really, from a spiritual perspective.
Well, it's what I asked for, and it's going on, and, you know, it will be a benefit or not. We'll see as time goes on, but it really, it is a clarity for me that's growing by the day, and it's a challenge. It's a real challenge, because you really do go through periods of pain and suffering that are not quite like what I've been through before. And I really, in a sense, you know, I really think Rudy never said this was going to be, you know, a joyous ride. This is a big ride into liberation. The ride to liberation means seeing the whole, experiencing it, and letting it go in some way. And there's a lot we don't want to let go of, including the things that seem to define us and make us good people or special people or whatever it is. That's got to go, just like the stuff that the crap stuff that's in us. So the Neptune, when it hits your sun, which is the core of you, it's going to pull it all apart, and you got to sit there and let it go, even if you don't want to. So it's very, very freeing. And if I can report on it from the front lines, maybe when all of you start to have moments of this occurring, you'll know, you know, somebody was on that trap, on that line before, the way I look at Buddha as having been there before, you know, and can report back from the trenches that, you know, here, this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like. It's very valuable. So we're all here. We're all in the trenches together. Honestly, as far as I can tell, we're all really we're more in the trenches than we ever imagined. And I think this is the time to get your soldier's capacity, strength together, your heroism, your power, and be ready for whatever the thing that's going to happen. And it's going to happen on its terms, in its way. And either we're going to get ready and we're going to jump out and find ourselves on the battlefield, or we'll find ourselves hiding, trying to lie down at the bottom of the trench. But it's coming, you know, it's coming. We all know something is coming. It's happening. And it's impossible to predict the magnitude or how it's going to go. Everyone talks about we're coming to the new normal. There may be no more normal. We really don't know. All I can say is, if you can find your way into the core of your being, it is what it is, becomes the truth for you, not the, what you want it to be. And you will find yourself being completely immersed in that. And I hope, because my feeling is leading in that direction, you will be grateful no matter what occurs. You know, something is going on. And I don't know if it's for people. It may be for the planet. It may be we are the problem. You know, maybe we are the virus. And the planet needs to shake off a fair number of us. I mean, I really think that's a real possibility. We have such, you know, grandiose ideas of who we are. But whatever is going on, life and death is in the balance. And a lot of people are going to die, probably, maybe in this pandemic, maybe in a later one, maybe just in the normal scheme of things. We're all going to go through it. This is like a moment to reflect on that. This is the moment to look at it and go, yuck, even I could die. Even I could meet the wrong person, shake the wrong hand, be in the wrong environment, and die. Trust me, at one moment in time, that will be true. It will be true. Be ready. Be ready. This is preparatory time. This is the time you can learn, how do I meet that? How do I move toward the reality of that? How do I accept that it's even reality? This is the time to do that. If you use it well, you are going to learn from it. If you don't use it well, you will you will miss an opportunity. Your choice. It's all totally up to you. So, any other questions? Have I depressed you all totally? I'm not trying to do that, but this is a period of time that could lead you into phenomenal depression, or you can work with that, which I think you will have to do to get past it. And it may be roller coastery, you know, but whatever it is, it's you and it. You have to figure it out. You have to do it. We all have to do it. So this is the time. There's nothing magical about it. The practice is simple. Sit still, open yourself up, and find the best of times within. Is that a question, Michael?
Well, one last thing. I would be remiss not to say that, instead of speaking only of the negative, that Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, which is a universal love, as opposed to the more romantic, pleasurable Venus love.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that. I mean, I have to say, the feeling that is coming through for me at this moment in time is exactly that. And it's what allows me to sit with each of you and honestly, love you kind of like your mother would have loved you. I really feel that. And maybe more than your mother would have loved you. Maybe it feels impersonal, but I feel when I look at each of you, I would hold you in my arms and just hug you like you were, you know, 6 months old, and just bring you all the love that will sustain you for your whole life. That's really how I feel. And it's not Bruce. Bruce doesn't know how to do that. It's this thing that comes through, and it doesn't come through me. I have no exclusivity to this. It will come through you. It doesn't just want to use me. It would like to use all of us. And all you have to do is open your heart and begin to take this best of times loving feeling inside and share it with others. You don't have to share it with the world. You share it with whoever arrives in front of you. And then if you want to, you can reach out to others a little bit at a distance and share it with them as well. You will change the world. You really will. It'll be wonderful. Okay. Thank you, guys. I am deeply grateful that you showed up. I will see you in 3 weeks. Anyone who needs or wants to call or talk or has an issue or problem, I'm around, okay?